Well, we're quite proud to have working with us our brother Ron Stifler in connection with the L'Heure de la Bonne Nouvelle, with our television work. He's actually our bookkeeper. He's the one that has to keep us in line, as it were. And of course, you know, we know Jill is very, we call her Buffalo Jill. When she came to camp up at Jolly Bay, you know, we always give, you know, a camp name, as it were, and this was her name, Buffalo Jill. I don't know if she, you know, how she, but, you know, they have no choice, eh? It's the same as our own name. We're not the one that has chosen it. But anyway, I want to talk a little about what is going on in our province. Well, probably I should say Easter Canada. Well, first of all, I should pass the greetings from my wife. Last time, the only time I was here, that's a few years ago. Now, my wife was with me, and now she believes that I'm just, you know, going hopping, a little too much, and she can't keep up with me. And, it's a little hard for her to sort of follow me. But she holds the fort at home, and I'm certainly so thankful, for her. And probably for those of you who doesn't know us too well, we have 7 children married, and we have 16 grandchildren. And most of them are young people. We even have 2 of them married, and we have 2 great-grand. You know, they're just catching up with us. That's all. You see? So there it is. And we're very thankful to have good many of them, our grandchildren, that is, that are working, and of course, you know, some of our children working with us with the Camp Jolly Bay. So I just want to say a few words in connection with Camp Jolly Bay. That started in 1963, actually. And now, you see, we're preparing for another season. And camp certainly has changed a lot. You know, we are very thankful to the Lord for Camp Jolly Bay. And, you know, 90% of the campers that come to Jolly Bay, they come from non-Christian home, which makes it a little different than many other camps. The same with young people's camp. The young people, they come. They have their smoking. But, you know, we have a place, a penitent place, where they can have their little smoke. But, you know, we welcome them anyhow because, you know, I mean, they need the gospel, don't they? And we feel that, you know, we certainly have some restriction, but we know they hear the gospel. And it's always wonderful to see God's hand working in their lives and some of them coming through for the Lord. And so camp has opened up certainly a great way to reach the people, the youngster from our part of the province. Well, they come from Northern Ontario. They come as far down as Montreal to Camp Jolly Bay. And we can accommodate, you know, camp. We've had up to 150, you know, at our camp. But years ago, I have to say, once we had at our family camp 225. And I didn't know just where to spot them. And I didn't, you know, people were calling in and they were coming. I remember, I probably could tell you a little experience with the probably that I had that very summer. Pack was more than full. And our little cabin, you know, we they were packed with two or three different families in the same cabin. You know how this could, you know, how we can arrange for that. But we did somehow. Then I got a phone call, and it was from Sherbrooke. They said, "We're coming to Camp Jolly Bay." I said, "We're more than full. We don't know where to put them." I said, "How many are you?" I thought, you know, probably half a dozen or what. They said, "We're 30 of us." I said, "30 of us. We have just no room." I said, "Oh," they said, "we're going to camp." I said, "You're going to camp." I said, "What about lunch?" "We're going to picnic." They said, "We're coming." What can you do with a bunch of that? Well, you know, in Quebec, sometimes, you know, odd things do happen. And you know, I was walking that night, you know, before camp was on, then the day before, and I was walking through the camp. I said, "Look, what am I going to do with that bunch, you know, that's coming?" And you know, there's a little verse that came to my mind. The Lord sort of gave me that little word. "You feed them." I said, "But Lord, how am I going to do it? But they came. And we had a building coming up. We were preparing one building which was not finished. And when they came, there were 6 young mothers pregnant in a group beside. I thought to myself, "Now what?" Well, anyway, I showed them the building that was not finished. Well, they said, "That's great." And we had plenty of mattress. We just put the mattress down on the floor. And they made some type, like 2 booths in it, because there was no division. There was no partitions inside. And they said, "We're going to sleep here." It was better than outside, or under a plastic, you know. And they said, and then, you see, they had two little booths they made with a blanket, and one was for the girls or the ladies to dress and undress, and the other one for the fellas. But we had a great camp. You know, we had 2 sittings all the way through the week. 2 sitting for lunch, for dinner. And I tell you, it was a wonderful week, you know. People still talk about it, and I still dream about it. And I tell you, last year we put up a new building, a chapel building that we needed so badly for our winter weekend, you know. And it's 40 by 60, and right now we're preparing the rooms downstairs, and the upstairs, you know, it's already paint. And my young brother Gerard is doing the trim work and all of this. So we're very thankful to the Lord, and the Lord has, you know, given us 70 acres of land right on the lake. Beautiful lake. And I'm sure that some of you fellows, you know, they are Americans, they come, you know, to do their fishing up our way. Do you know that? You could come and enjoy 1 week of camp and do a little fishing at the same time. Yeah? So there it is. It's the last week, English Family Week. English Family Week is the last week in July. So there you are. That's your invitation. But I wanted to talk a little about television. And what time they told me, you know, that here they set up, they have the place set up that at a certain time they press on the buzzer and something goes. So, and that's what, 8:30 or 8:45? Well, anyway, 8:30. Wow. So we'll see how we manage. Well, anyway, with the television work, I have a little demo that demonstrator, just to tell you a little bit of our present television series. You know, we started the radio L'Heure de la Bonne Nouvelle in 1961. And When just before I moved to Raleigh, you know, I was raised, I grew up out there, although I was born in Tree River, but you know, I was still in Elliott Lake, and we got in twos, Bob McLaren, and also some of the boys out there, and I got associated with them, and this was the beginning of Glad Tidings Gospel Hour. And then we had a French program. We started in 61. In 64, preparing a big chart, Two Ways and Two Destinies, you know, we got into it about, hey, you know, we should put that probably on television. We didn't know beans about television, you see. We didn't even have one at home. And at that time, it was just black and white, the television, you know. And everybody that had television, you know, it was half snowing in there and hard to see, you know. And you hear the voice, the squeaky old voice coming through, you know. And this was television at that time, you see. Up our way anyway. And, you know, but we got enthused about, you know, television. So we went to find out the possibilities. And to our great surprise, you know, they said, yeah, they said, why not? And we almost went backward, you know. And we told them then that we had no experience. No experience. Well, I said, that's all right. We have boys. That's their job. You come up when you're ready. And this was the first time that we present a series over, you know, radio now on television. And as a result of that, the Lord, in that very same year, the Lord saved some souls as a result of that. And then, you know, we carried on afterwards, you know. And we've been carrying since that time. So, you know, this is 38 years. And we're on the network now, and that means that we cover all eastern Canada, the Maritimes, and we cover all northern Ontario through the network, with a half-hour program, 8:30 Sunday morning. And I have some little card here. And it's even written, I had them translate to American English for you to read. So before you leave, make sure you grab one there. So, you know, as a prayer reminder. And we are very thankful to them. We have a budget with our television of $120,000. Oh, that's a lot of peso. But, I mean, for you people, it's not all that big because your money is worth twice as our money. You know, we just like, our money is just like Canadian Tire money. But anyway, you know, and more than half is already taken care of this year. We're very thankful to God for that, you know. And I know that when we got going, you know, at the beginning, we had nobody to do the singing. We had nobody to do, you know, music, to play professionally and on television. You've got to be on. You know what I mean? And, you know, we started small, and, you know, now the Lord has raised up and saved people that have talent, you know, and we certainly are very, very thankful. Actually, we have a group, you know, they write their own song too, you know. So we're so thankful for that. Quebec is starting to sing, and I'm so glad about that. That doesn't mean that, you know, the gospel work is all well taken care of in Quebec, you know. That in Quebec, there's just about 0.5% that are born again. Of the 7 million people in the province of Quebec alone, only 0.5% are born again. It still is a mission field. But I have to tell you something. You know, Quebec is open to the gospel now. It's wide open. And there are people that are really seeking. You'll see that I have two or three quotations of letters from this winter. Actually, people are writing in right now. And while I talk about, you know, the correspondence, remember Marge Robin, who actually is our secretary and look after News of Quebec. She's like this. I said, Marge, keep your head above water. And, you know, and she does a tremendous work there, and there are other ladies that helps packing up. So we're going to see, I'm going to show you a little bit of this here. We're just going to run through. It's French. How many can read or understand some French in here? Oh, I know that. I like that. Hey, that's great. And you people will have to polish up on your French, because soon we'll be in glory. And we'll be speaking what? All our program starts with a question that we put out to the public on the street. Like, do you believe in heaven? And can we know God? Is there an end of this world? What does it mean to be a Christian? Is everybody wrong? And so on. You know, we have a question that we ask the public, then we have the reaction of the public. And then, of course, after we have a chronic, a Bible chronic, which actually is, you know, the God's answer from God's Word, you see? And then the message comes afterward, and the message, of course, is always in line with, actually, the question that has been dealt with. So, I mean, this will give you a little idea of how this goes on.
Est-ce que vous croyez au ciel, c'est-à-dire un état de félicité éternelle, de beauté, de gloire?
Oui, oui.
Alors, je crois qu'il y a un au-delà, oui. Mais le ciel comme tel, c'est quoi le ciel? C'est en haut, c'est en bas, c'est quoi?
Le ciel, c'est difficile de s'imaginer c'est quoi. C'est un lieu en quelque part où existe le bonheur parfait, j'imagine.
Est-ce que vous croyez au ciel?
Do you believe in heaven? That's the opening. Now we're going to speed them up. This is the opening and the presentation of the program, and here is the chronic, Bible chronic.
C'est en tout cas ce que pense la majorité des gens. Et cela a même donné naissance à une doctrine qu'on appelle l'universalisme.
That's Jean-Pierre Cloutier, one of our body. He was a television announcer before he got saved. Now he is preaching the good news.
Au contraire, elle révèle que plus nombreux sont ceux qui auront choisi le chemin de la perdition.
Does the Bible talks about hell?
La Bible parle-t-elle de l'enfer? En réalité, même après avoir fait la part des choses entre ce que la Bible...
That's one of the preacher, the farmer preacher. And the texts are always, when we commit a text, it comes on the screen like this. That's François Fréchette. That's Jean-Pierre Cloutier out here.
A toujours eu des problèmes de comportement à travers tous les âges. Nous n'avons qu'à lire les journaux.
That's Fernand Saint-Louis. You probably heard about Fernand Saint-Louis. He was the voice of La Foi Vivifiante for a good many years in Quebec.
Beaucoup d'entre vous, dit-il, connaîtront le...
That's Jacques Marcoux, another of our speakers.
Depuis les temps, des philosophes et même des théologiens ont essayé de répondre à ces questions fondamentales de notre existence sans beaucoup de succès.
We're going to show you a little bit of our singer. Whoops. At the closing, and then of course we invite people to a wonderful breakfast of hope with a free, an open free number, phone number. And then that's our offer, New Testament. And that's a book by MacDonald, God's Answer to Men's Question. And a calendar. And that sort of, you know, shows you just a little bit of our program. You know, I should say that the... with that buddy of mine there, who was a television, a radio announcer, you know, he used to, his mother used to like our program, and she would listen to it. He was, you know, and he thought he was quite important being, working with television and being a public man, and he used to call me the funny man. And he used to identify me with Réal Kowet. You know, that's the Parti Québécois, the Parti Crédit Social, you know, up our way a few years back, you know. But anyway, his fiancée, she heard the gospel, she got saved. And she started to bring the gospel to him. And as a result, you know, he got saved himself. And... you know, and of course, you know, when he started, you see, he was behind the mic, you know, and interviewing, and always, you know, sometimes bringing a little text over the air. And so, you know, the television manager called him one day and he said, "Hey, this is no church here. This is a television station, and we're here to bring out the news, you know," and so on. And one day, the bishop, he interviewed the bishop, if you please. And he had quite a few things to say, you know, about, you know, a certain religious feast of some kind that was taking place. So, I mean, he just was boiling inside. So when he left the room, the studio room, he got on the mic and he said, "You know what, you've been listening is not according to the scripture, to the Bible." And of course, you know, they got the manager to fire him. And so, you know, he was out without a job. So he called the the Rivière du Loup station, Mr. Gagnon. He says, I've been fired, he says. And he told him why. Why, he says, you come here, we need you. He says, yeah. He says, when do I start? Tomorrow, he says, get out here. And so he was out there in Rivière du Loup, you know, the next day to start working in Rivière du Loup, which was, of course, quite further, you see, to work, you know. But, you know, this station was in financial difficulty, and the station that where he started to work, they bought the other one. And so the manager, Gagnon, said, you go back there, he said, that's where you live, and he said, you'll be our man, he says, to run out there, he says, and do the announcing and so on. And what he says, I was fired out there. Well, he said, that's all right. And so, you know, he was out there. And, of course, the bishop got after Gagnon. And he said, listen, we got this fellow fired. Well, Gagnon says, although he's a Catholic, you know, Gagnon says, you know, he says, I'm the managing director of those television stations, and I run the show. And he says, in the church, he says, you run the show. He says, he is staying out there. And I could tell you, you know, quite a few other instances, you know. Pray also for Brother Joe Tremblay. You've heard of Joe Tremblay? And he's plugging away there and sending some tapes to Quito, Ecuador, where he first heard the gospel from that station out there when he was a missionary priest in South America. And now he's in Rivière du Loup, and he's preaching the word there, out there. I was there last fall. Pray for his health also, because he had a mechanic valve put into his heart and some bypass. And you know, according to the doctor, that valve is good for 50 years. So he told me that he can go on until 125 years. Well, I hope that the Lord will keep him, you know, preaching the word. Joe Tremblay in Rivière du Loup. Well, I was going to read, but I see this clock or something. I believe the battery is low on it. You know, when the battery is low, the clock go faster. But I thought, you know, I could just, you know, quote just a couple of, it says here, here's Mario, he writes, I am 43 years old, and it's the second time that I listen to your program. I just gave my life to the Lord with a sincere heart for the first time in my life. I don't have much instruction, and I want to know my Savior, Jesus. Here's another one here, and he writes, my name is Claude. I am a prisoner. He's in Sherbrooke in the prison. But he's been listening to the program, and he says, it has greatly touched him, the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. And he says, I found it authentic to the gospel of Jesus' message, and so on. And his name is Claude. We even received some from Haiti, because we're on the internet. And of course, you know, they can, as soon as they're on air, the television, the message, well then, you know, they are put on the internet, and, you know, and they can be captured or capped and listened to out there. And he writes here, my name is Theodore, Paul Theodore, and he's been listening to the program out there, and, you know, he wants to keep on following the program and so on. And that's all I can quote, and I'm going to open the word now, because all I have left now is 6 minutes. Well, you know, while we're down here on earth, we're limited with time. Isn't that true? Boy, I can't hardly wait until we get to heaven. There won't be no clock. And we'll have lots to share and talk about. But above all, and I believe this could be very near, we were talking about it at supper time. We're getting near the end. All the characteristics of the coming of Christ, they're all set around us. The Lord is coming. And He's coming soon. And that means that, you know, we're the ambassador, the witness of the last hour. And it makes it all the more important. And I want to leave a little portion of scripture, because if I don't open my Bible, I know you won't invite me back. I'm going to read that little portion, and you may have to invite me to preach on it next time. But here it is. Second epistle to Corinthians chapter 5. And we read there verse 14. And it says there, for the love of Christ constrain or controls us, constrain us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all die. And He died for us, for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come, or new things have become, you know, new. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and give us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. What a wonderful portion of scripture. And I started with verse 14. For the love of Christ constrained us. I like that. Eh? I believe that in every human being there is a longing for love, or to be loved. Isn't that right? And isn't that wonderful to know that God so loved us? That's me, that's you. And God's word will tell us, not only, it says, God proves His love. He gave His Son to die so that we might live through Him. You know, at all time, no matter, sometimes our shortcomings, but you know, we're the object of God's love. Why? I tell you, God loves us because He's loved. And there's nothing to explain it. God loves us. And you know, it sort of rejoices my heart just to know that I am loved. I may not be understood all the time by even those that I'm living with. And I don't blame them sometimes. But anyway, God loves us with an everlasting love. And then it says there, having concluded this, that one died for us, therefore all die. You know, the cross that saves us, it's the cross that crucifies us. If anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up the cross. And the cross always means and one thing. It means death. It's just to the measure that I reckon myself as being dead with Christ, that then He's going to fulfill His plan and program through me, right? It's when we're ready to die, Paul would say, I'm ready not only to suffer, but I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. These are the kind of men and young people that God can use, are those that are ready to go all the way, because he went all the way, according to this. And it says there, he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves. What's our priority anyway? I asked. We may ask ourselves. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Yes, we don't know him no longer like he was. Therefore, from now on, we do recognize verse 16, no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. You know, when he came on earth, he was the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And from the day he came into this earth to the time that he was crucified, he was, you know, carrying the burden of our sin, of the human sin. But not now anymore. Victory has been won at Calvary. And now, it says there, and now we know him thus no longer. He is the risen Savior. And then it goes to say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Is that really true with us? We can ask ourselves, is it really true with us? New things. New things. And it says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and give us the ministry. Not only are we reconciled with him, but God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, the Lord has entrusted us. Entrusted. Is that a good word? Yeah? He has entrusted us with the commission, with the message of reconciliation. Namely, and that's the message that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. The sin question has been dealt with, and men can be freely forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the message that we ought to carry, every one of us. That's not just for Brother Stifler or Brother Paul or some others out here, just a few, you know. It's for all of us if we belong to the Lord, right? All of us should be involved in carrying, having a part in this here gospel. We're all evangelists in some measure. And woe to us if we forget this commission of the risen Savior. And then it says what? It says, I'm 1 minute past. I know you're going to forgive me for just a few minutes past. I knew that in advance anyway. And it says here, hey, therefore we are ambassador for Christ. We represent heaven. We, you see, we are saved, and it's just like the Lord sort of sent us back to the world. After he has saved us and reconciled us and make us, you see, some of his own people, he just sort of loaned us back to this world to represent his interest and to represent heaven. And we ought to. Hey? I tell you, hey, we ought to be able to speak of this living hope that we have. There's so many thousands and thousands of Americans, they don't have that hope. And they're scared stiff. They won't even get on the plane anymore. Are you afraid of flying? I'm not. I'm not. Anyway, why? Well, it's not because I want to challenge the, you know, American air. It's just that I know that my Lord, you see, he's the one who cares for me. And you know, then what else? It says we're ambassador for Christ as though God has entreating us, through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our message is a message of reconciliation, because he says, written there, verse 20, that's the word, that's the verse conclusion. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the very righteousness of God in Christ. What a wonderful, you know, verse, eh? The truth of it, you know. It tells us that we, you know, there's no more, the sin question is dealt with. I'm justified. You know, God sees me in his Son as though I've never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the message. This is the only God that can do. That's the power of the gospel, as it were. Only God can transform human hearts and human lives. And this is what America needs. This is what we all need. This is what our world needs. They need Christ. They need life. Eternal life. They need to know their sins forgiven. Price has been paid. And it's for us now to convey that message. Pray for camps. All the camps are getting geared up for another season. I don't know if we're going to get through. Brother Stifler think that we may not just be prepared, getting prepared. We may. But anyway, we have to get prepared as though we're here for 10 years. But we must expect him as he could come even tonight. This is how it goes, eh? And pray for l'heure de la bonne nouvelle, for the French, you know, people and the gospel that's being preached right across French Canada. Pray for Camp Jolibet and the camps too in Quebec. That God, you know, there are several of them now. Pray for workers in Quebec. All the old pioneers, the Lord is, you know, they're being promoted to heaven. And there's not that many to take their place. We need worker. And our province is white as unto harvest. And I believe the state here is ready as unto harvest. I believe what happened on September the 11th, it shook the whole world. And, you know, I never saw so many people getting together, praying, seeking the help of God. You know, I believe that there are many people who do thirst. And, they do expect something. And I believe that we have a message for them. Well, the Lord bless you, dear people. Thank you so much for your patience and for my 6 minute overtime. Okay, let's pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you're the God of love, and that if we haven't experienced real love here below, we know that you're the one who constraineth us. Because you are a loving God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. For loving us when we were lost and so far, where we were bound with the chain of sin and religion, some of us. But Lord, you have set us free. We are indeed so thankful tonight for this abundant life that you have for us. And for the privilege that we have, the freedom that we have to share the gospel and to convey this message of reconciliation to our lost and needy world. Lord, we pray for Afghanistan. We pray that as they seek, need like in bread and material things, that they might also seek for the bread of life, and that they may be open doors so that they will hear the true gospel. So we pray for also Jerusalem. You've asked us to pray for Israel and Jerusalem. And we pray, Lord, for those that are leading our countries. They need your wisdom. So, Lord, that we may have the freedom in those last hours to carry on with the message of the gospel. Lord, bless us. Again, we pray with your presence. Make us a means of blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.